Blog Talk Radio.
Here it is. This is All About Wine, a talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009, featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Rod.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
From coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Post your questions and comments during the live show on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/allaboutwinedtr. Again, that's www.facebook.com/allaboutwinedtr. And now, All About Wine is on. Here's Ron.
Yeah, there he is.
All right. You know, every time I hear all of our bus people cheering like that and all that, mm-hmm. it reminds me of the Muppet Show. Remember when Kermit would introduce someone and all the Muppets would raise their hands and all that and cheer? That's what I think of every time I hear our bus people cheering. You know.
Okay.
But, we got a phone call. We got a guest tonight. People, and she's got a lot to talk about. I'm sure she does. Great website, and she's got herself quite a history, and she is waiting in the green room right now, ready to come out and join us, so we'll get her onto the show. Welcome, Jen, to All About Wine.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you here. We've been trying to connect ever since the Hurricane Ian, and I'm glad we finally got you on the show.
It's been a pretty busy few months, so yeah. I appreciate all the flexibility, and it's great to be on with you.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just we had Hurricane Ian go through, and we were down for like, you know, 4 weeks because of it, and it was a nightmare. But all that ends well. So you're finally on the show, and thanks for bearing with us also and taking time to join us tonight or this afternoon where you are.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Good. Boy, I got a lot of stuff to talk to you about, and you got a lot of stuff to talk about. To start with, you are co-founder of, what is it, Unfem?
We call it Unfem, or, we pronounce it une femme, or some French people call it une femme, but it means one woman in French.
Okay, une femme. Oh, that's even classier. Okay. Before we go into une femme and what it is, tell me a little bit of history about yourself up to the founding of une femme.
Sure. So I have really worked in restaurants, food, and wine for my whole career, the past 20-plus years since graduating from college. And my first job in the restaurant industry was when I was right out of college. I moved to New York. I was working at a hedge fund, actually, but I had heard that it was possible to stage at a restaurant, to work for free, and to work in the kitchen. These days, it's not allowed, but back in you know, the early 2000s, it certainly was part of the tradition at fine dining restaurants. And right. I was really lucky. I met a sous chef at Restaurant Daniel, which at the time was a Michelin 3-star, New York Times 4-star restaurant on the Upper East Side in Manhattan.
Wow.
And I asked to come work at the restaurant. And so I ended up essentially volunteering on the weekends. I worked every Saturday for about a year and a half, and worked almost every position on the line. I worked from canapés to the rotisserie station to the deep fryer, all the way down to making like really beautiful wedding cakes with pastry chef Dominique Ancel, who later went on to invent the cronut. And was so incredibly lucky because I got to see what it was like to work at a fine dining restaurant in the French tradition for a period of time when especially that style of super fine dining was so coveted, and it was an amazing foundation. And I eventually went to work for Danielle himself as his research assistant. And in that role, I worked with him on all kinds of special projects, everything from developing a line of spices to cookbook development to launching new restaurants, all of those kinds of things. And then it was amazing. Such an incredible opportunity to get to work with him. He's an incredible, incredible person. So generous, so kind. And he and Thomas Keller from the French Laundry took over the U.S. arm of a culinary competition called the Bocuse d'Or, which is hosted every 2 years in Lyon and was started by Paul Bocuse, the very famous French chef. And I became the competition director for that. And it was amazing. I got to travel out to California to work at the French Laundry, helping them to set up a culinary training center, and then helped to host a culinary competition in Florida, and then to the competition in France. And that's where I really started falling in love with wine, and especially with champagne, because...
You can't help but do that, yes.
You can't help but fall in love with wine, and... Yeah. When you're with such incredible company, you end up drinking a lot of the good stuff. So I got a very early level of access to incredible wines, and that's where it all began.
What year was that?
That was 2004 to 2009. So that was quite a while ago. And then from there, I ended up going to the Gilt Group, the shopping site, and we launched a gourmet food and wine section of the site called Gilt Taste. And we did a lot of work really kind of at the intersection of content and commerce. So we launched not only an awesome e-commerce website where you could purchase champagne and caviar and oysters and beautiful chocolates sent direct to your door, but we also worked with amazing people in editorial to create beautiful interviews and recipes and profiles of so many of our great purveyors who are making really beautiful things like incredible cheesemongers and butchers and whatnot. And that was the first time that I got to work in a space where we were selling products to consumers online. And
what year again was this?
This was 2009, probably 2012, 2011.
So online sales like that is in its infancy.
Oh, absolutely. Right at the very start of it all. We launched right around the same time as like Food 52 and, things like, all of these. There was not yet all of these delivery platforms. There weren't grocery delivery platforms of really fine foods like Good Eggs. This was really at the very early stages. And this was during a time when traditional print publications were still very, very, very influential and were the end-all be-all. And they were starting to put some digital editorial content online, but just a little bit here, a little bit there. And so we did a lot of editorial content that got recognized. We actually ended up getting nominated for a James Beard Award and for an IACP Award against publications like Bon Appetit and Gourmet because we were doing stuff online and they were just starting to put things there. So very special time. Very, very formative. And that's where I first came in contact with and started drinking and enjoying all of the beautiful champagnes from all of the big traditional houses like Veuve Clicquot and Dom Perignon and Krug and Brionnart, because we would do flash sales of their wines. So we would feature those wines, and of course we had to taste them and understand them before we could market them. And so at a pretty young age, I got access to a lot of those cool wines, and that's where I really, really fell in love with champagne.
I have a question here. Sorry to interrupt again. You mentioned many French. Was it exclusively French champagnes and wines that you were dealing with, or did you bring in California?
We also brought in some California wines and some Italian wines, but of the champagne, we were doing true champagne from Champagne, France.
Oh, okay. Yeah, a little bit of everything.
A little France, a little Italy, a little California. We even did some German wines, et cetera. And so that was the first time that I was selling wine online. And then over the next 5 or 10 years, I worked in a lot of digital companies that were related to food and beverage in a couple different ways. So I worked at OpenTable, where I was heading up restaurant marketing. So we worked with a lot of the top tier restaurant owners and did all kinds of events and partnerships with them. And then I went to the social media network Tumblr, and my role there, my title was food and drinks evangelist.
It was amazing.
Yeah, it was very cool. So my job there was to reach out to all of the best food and wine publications and chefs and cookbook authors and restaurateurs to get them to use Tumblr, and also to find people who are already on Tumblr using food either as the subject or the medium of really cool art to elevate the best content. So people who were using art in sculpture or food in sculpture or food for really cool events and all of those kinds of things. So that was amazing because that was at they were an early social media platform and very innovative and very arts focused. And then I met my now husband and I moved out to San Francisco because he was living in San Francisco at the time. And I took a role at OpenTable, the reservations network, on the marketing team and led the business side of marketing for a while. And then I eventually left to start my own champagne bars, which is really how I launched my own champagne brand. And so I launched a little corner restaurant in the heart of San Francisco called The Riddler. And everything we did there was all about champagne and sparkling wine. So we had hundreds of champagnes available by the bottle and dozens by the glass. And we had such a blast. And we ended up opening a location in New York in the West Village as well in 2019, right before all of COVID. But we had a short run there in New York, and it was amazing getting to run champagne bars in two of the best cities in the U.S., in San Francisco and New York.
I'm curious, where was it in San Francisco? What was the address?
We were at 528 Laguna, so on the corner of Laguna and Linden in Hayes Valley.
Okay, yeah. I lived over the hill in Concord for many years, and San Francisco is my favorite city in the whole world. And so I was just curious.
It's a great, great city. Our little corner space was just 500 square feet. It was tiny. And it was a corner cafe that had been a cafe for, I don't even know how many years, 60, 70, 80 years, a lot of time, a lot of good history, and really beautiful bones. It felt kind of like a place that you would find somewhere in Europe. And we had a lot of fun. We served all kinds of great champagnes, everything from small organic grower producers to these household name brands like Veuve Clicquot and Dom Perignon.
Wow. That sounds exciting. You telling me your story just sort of wore me out here. I mean, take a deep breath. You've been busy.
I've been busy. That's why it's taken a while to get on the show.
Probably it. Yeah. You're still busy. So now we are caught up to the Riddler. And how long did the Riddler stay open? Until you closed it because of COVID?
Yes, that's right. So we were open for about 5 years in San Francisco and only a few months in New York because we opened right before COVID. And we made the really hard business decision to close the businesses and I miss them still every day. But here we are a couple of years later.
So you closed those and you decided it was time to make a champagne by women for women. Tell me the story that led up to that.
Well, so at the Riddler, all of our investors were women. So we had 33 investors in San Francisco and 40 in New York, all who so cool. Such a great, great group of women. And that really became a part of our story and our community. And very often guests would come into the restaurant and, you know, our champagne list was a couple hundred champagnes. So hard to weed through if you don't know exactly what you're looking for. And we would always feature wines made by women winemakers as a section on the menu. And those wines would always sell incredibly well. And guests would ask us, where can I find wines made by women winemakers? If I go to a retail store or if I go to a restaurant, how can I know that a wine is made by a woman? And so I was like, we should launch a brand for this. I don't know why one doesn't exist yet. And so the first wine that we launched was called the Juliet. And that was our beautiful organic grower producer champagne from a fifth generation winemaker in France. And we had that on our wine list at the restaurant and people loved it. The producer is such an incredible winemaker and their wines are so, so, so gorgeous. And so that did really, really, really well. So that was the first wine that we launched. And then we kept noticing that our top selling wines were always sparkling rosés available by the glass. And I couldn't find a sparkling rosé by the glass from California that was at the right price and that was dry and that was sustainable and all of the features that we wanted. And so I reached out to a good friend of mine. Her name is Samantha Sheehan, and she makes several different wines in California. She's most well known for her line called Ultraviolet. She also makes a line of champagne method sparkling called Poe. And then she also makes a really amazing vermouth called Mom and Pop. And I reached out to her and I was like, hey, can we make a sparkling rosé together? And so we teamed up on that in collaboration. And that's the wine that was our first California wine. And that wine has really taken off. And we've made a handful of wines with her. But that wine now is one of our, I would say, like one of our flagship wines, one of our most popular wines in the portfolio.
Wow. Three or four questions. The women that you found to make your wines, did you search it or were you familiar with them in all of your other jobs? And how did you find them?
Yeah, both the Gonet Medvie family in Champagne and Sam Sheehan from Poe and Ultraviolet, they were winemakers whose wines we served at the restaurant. And people we knew because they would come into the Riddler and they were fans of what we were doing. And so we just became pretty friendly with them and we loved their style of winemaking. And we just developed friendships with them. And then we decided to do collaborative projects with them as well.
Uh-huh. And French Laundry, you still have any contact with them? You still do anything with them?
do you need a reservation?
If I'm in California, I would definitely need one.
we have a lot of friends who currently work there or used to work there. My husband actually worked at the French Laundry for many years. He was Thomas Keller's culinary assistant. We're both hardcore, old school, fine dining restaurant people. So we know a lot of people up in Yountville who are still working at French Laundry.
Yeah,
but I'm not very good at getting a reservation. I'm sorry.
Nobody is for the French Laundry. Oh my gosh, you if you want a reservation, you have a child that's born, you make it for them, and when they graduate,
that's
it's just unbelievable. Many years ago. When I lived in California, I had a chance to, let's see, what year was this? I'm thinking here in 70, 1974, I ate there. I had a very good friend of mine who was familiar with it, and he had gotten reservations, and for some reason I was able to go with him. And oh my gosh, I mean, it was a culinary memory that I will never forget. But whenever I've, you know, anyone else talks to me about it, well, you've been there, can you get me reservations? No, nobody can get you reservations there. You have to, you know, get on a list that is, it's harder than Super Bowl tickets. So,
but, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
It really is. It's amazing. But it's an amazing place to eat and amazing food and all that. So that's why.
Yeah.
You know. But,
that's right. Some things are worth the wait.
Yeah, that place is, and it really is. It's just phenomenal. French Laundry, for those listeners out there, is a restaurant that is. It's in Napa Valley, not really. It's in Yountville, like Jen just said, but it is really phenomenal, and it's sort of like you walk up to a fancy restaurant and you expect something that's going to attract your eye, but the French Laundry is not. It's just it's sort of unassuming from the outside, but it's just phenomenal food. So not that I'm promoting it or anything, because nobody can get in. So if you plan on going to California and you want to go to the French Laundry, then, you know, planning on going to California in about 8 years, because it'll take that long to get on the list. So.
That's right.
Yeah, oh, it's unbelievable. Your website. I was reading through that a couple times over the past week or so while I was looking about things to talk to you about. And one of the things I noticed was you have a blog there that's very interesting. Who writes your blog? Is that you?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I actually don't write it. We have a couple of members of our team who write it, who are on the marketing team and who are just really passionate about it. We have a handful of folks who love writing cool content about things that are, I would say, champagne or sparkling wine adjacent. So when and where to drink these wines, cool entertaining tips, cool recipes, even things like fun playlists to listen to while you're cooking, or cool gift guides for the holidays of other women-made brands that we really love and that we want to support. So it's been a really fun thing. The team launched it in the middle of the year last year, and it's been a really successful, really popular project.
Well, I can see why. There's one that I really enjoyed was The History of Women in Wine Since Ancient Times. That was a fascinating read.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I highly recommend that to anyone who has a little bit of time to read through it. It really is a fascinating read. The Unfim is a champagne made by women for women, but you also do a lot of, well, even your website and everything says you donate a lot to charities, women charities. Tell me about that. Why and who do you choose for the charities, and how does that work?
Absolutely. So yeah, this is something that's really core to our DNA at Unfem. Everything that we do really focuses on supporting women in some way. So of course, our wines are made by women winemakers, and each of them is paired with a charity that gives back to improving the lives of women in some way. So our main charity partner is the Breast Cancer Research Fund. We donate tens of thousands of dollars a month to the BCRF, which is obviously an incredibly important charity and research organization that really affects the lives of women. It's something that's really, really important to us. We also work with an organization called Dress for Success, which is a really amazing global charitable organization that works with women who have been out of the workforce and need to get back into the workforce and need support in terms of not only like professional apparel, but getting their resume ready and professional training, professional services, mentorship, and coaching. And so they're an organization that's really important to us because we care very much about empowering women and getting financial resources into the hands of women and women, you know, really being able to support themselves. So they've been great partners.
That Dress for Success is, I'm aware of that. That is a great organization. In fact, when I had the winery here, I would every month have a tip jar and not accept tips for myself or the staff. All agreed that all the tips would go in the tip jar, and we would choose a different charity every month. And it was amazing that some of the charities would get so much more than others. And it seemed like we did Dress for Success 1 month, and that was one of the biggest collections we ever did, along with a couple of veteran charities. But it's a great organization. I checked into it before we did any charity. I would check into it and see what it was all about. And that Dress for Success is something that is fantastic, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. It's just a great charity.
It's a great, really, really, really helpful charity. And I think for so many of us, we're looking for opportunities when we're shopping for things. You know, we're all going to buy wine. We're all going to buy food and consumer products all across the board. And you might as well give back to organizations that are doing good for the world while you're buying the products that you would buy anyway. So we always say, like, drink well while doing good. That's something that we want to encourage people to do.
That's a good line. Yeah, I like that. Now, you, UnFem is it's an online winery, or do you have a brick and mortar?
You can certainly purchase our wines through our website, which is just www.unfemwines.com. And so most of our wines are available online. We also have our wines available really truly across the country at amazing independent restaurants and retailers. We are at a lot of great hotels. We're at great venues, and two of our biggest partners, our biggest is Delta Airlines, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if you ever fly Delta, we're the sparkling wine on board all the planes. We started as a local partner, and then we did a one-month stint across the country, and then our relationship continues to grow. And so now we're the global partner. And it's been an incredible experience working with Delta. They're such an amazing airline, and people drink a lot of sparkling wine on planes, I'll tell you that. A lot of people drink mimosas, a lot of people drink, you know, and in the lounges, we're in the lounges as well. You can buy our wines in the lounges. So that's one of the first ways a lot of times that people find out about us. And we have a little QR code on the back of our cans. We do a canned wine for Delta because it's very sustainable. They're fully recyclable cans. And we never wanted to do a canned wine, but Delta asked if we would do one. And we said, of course, we'll do one for you. So we did it for Delta. And it's a great wine. They're delicious. So Delta is a big partner of ours. We also have a great partnership with the Ritz-Carlton, actually. So if you go to any Ritz-Carlton in the U.S., you can have our wines by the glass.
Wow.
Yeah.
We've
been busy. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like it. What do we got here? Oh, my engineer, who is my wife, I refer to her as my engineer, just brought me in a wine to taste this evening, Da Vinci 2019 Chianti.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
How
is it?
I don't know. She just brought it in. Let me see. Oh, lovely aroma. Blackberry, blueberry aromas to it. And got nice color. Oh, that's very nice. Let me do always do two sips.
Always, always.
Oh, always. Never judge on your first, always your second. Well, that's nice. It's got some nice nice berry flavors to it. The little hint of strawberry almost in the taste.
Ooh.
It's light. It's not a Chianti, not a classical, but it's a DaVinci. Let me see if I can find anything. Well, before I even read it here, it says it will have intense aroma and of ripe fruit and hints of fresh strawberry and plum. So I picked up the strawberry right away in that. That was there. Yeah. Very nice wine. It's
Who's the producer?
I'm trying to see. Let's see. Vinted and bottled by Keen Leonardo. Oh, my gosh. I'm not Italian, so it's hard to pronounce these correctly. I destroy the names. Bottled by.
But you know, all that matters is if you like it. It doesn't matter if you know how to pronounce it correctly.
Yeah, Canteen Leonardo Da Vinci Social Ag Co-op, imported by Da Vinci USA out of Hillsburg, California.
Nice.
So. Product of Italy. That doesn't really say too much on this about the producer, but it's very good. I'm glad she brought it into me. She usually does that, sneak in with the wine during the programs, and so
love
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
you're making me thirsty.
Yes, this is good. I will be sipping this throughout the rest of the show. So you are in, you mentioned restaurants and you mentioned hotels and stuff like that and the airline, but how about local stores throughout the country? I mean, can people go down to their local wine store and pick up a bottle of Unvim or...
It depends on where you're located, but yes, we are available at a lot of great restaurants or a lot of great retail shops and wine shops all across the country. We're actually going to be launching in Target in March of this year. So we'll be all across the country at Target, which is great. And I love Target. And Target really has a go.
We're very
excited about that. And we're going to be launching for anybody in California or Texas. We'll be at Sprouts. Starting in March as well. Sprouts is a great, great big retailer here on the West Coast. Like high-end gourmet grocery. And then
came
let's
into Florida
see, for anybody
too.
In... Oh, yeah. They did come into Florida?
Yeah, we have them in Florida now. In fact, there's a Sprouts about, maybe 2 miles from where I live. It's
Once March rolls around, they're going to be doing a big feature on women-made wines for the month of Women's History Month, which is March. And we'll be there on shelves for that month, which is going to be great.
Oh, fantastic. Well, definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier to go and pick it up there than it is to try to have shipping, because shipping's always scary.
It's such an expensive and unreliable process to ship wine across the country. I wish it were better and easier, but it's the trickiest part of this business, I'll tell you that.
Oh, I can imagine. I used to ship wines too. In fact, a quick story here about shipping wines. I made a strawberry port, which was one of the biggest sellers I had, and a girl from Miami wanted me to ship a case to her for Christmas because she was going to give it out as Christmas gifts. And so I packaged it up and shipped it. And Miami from here, just north of Tampa, should take maybe 3 days and at the most. And she called me a week later and said she never got the wine. Did I ship it? And I had. And so I contacted UPS, who I was using at the time. And they said, well, we got a signature of it being delivered. And I said, what address? And it was an address in Indiana. So whoever got it was probably pleasantly surprised by the case of report they got. You know, so shipped another one. But, you know, I used to hate shipping because of things like that. It just, you know.
So many surprising twists and turns that can happen.
Yeah, and it's a pain too. The women basis of all this. I'm going to get into this. There is more and more women getting into wine. In fact, a lot of the publications that are coming out now are featuring women that are making wine. Wine Spectator, Wine Enthusiast. And a lot of smaller ones that are out there. And they're celebrating it like it's something that is brand new. It sounds to me like you've been in it longer than most in this winter.
Well, you know, there have been women making wine for generations and generations, but it still is a pretty small percentage of both the winemakers and certainly the winery owners. It's still, I believe, far less than 10% of California wineries are owned by a woman. And there are still, definitely the population of winemakers who are women is growing, which is amazing, but we need to do a lot more to draw attention to them and to celebrate them and seek them out. It still is a pretty male-dominated field, which is, you know, I think we're all in this together, men and women all together. And I think it's just more about like celebrating and amplifying the voices of people who are interesting and diverse. There's not a tremendous amount of people of color who are prominent winemakers, but there are definitely
starting to change.
Yeah,
too.
It's definitely an area that we need a lot of improvement in. That's for sure.
Yeah. It's one of those old boy schools, old boy businesses that it's been around for a long time, and it's hard to break that hold that they have on it. But there's a lot of great wine, and you know, and it seems too, and I have to give you congratulations for promoting it, but it seems that there are women winemakers out there that are not celebrated, that are not people don't know about it. And it needs to be publicized more, I think.
Absolutely.
Through the winery and wine and publications and everything else, because there are a lot of very good wines that women are making. I've talked to some women that have wineries, and it's great to see it and hear it and all that. I had something else I was going to ask you. My mind lost it while I was talking there.
It must have been the Chianti, you know?
Yeah, it must have been. Yeah. This is a good Chianti. I'm glad we got that.
You know, it's, sometimes they're distracting. So
yeah,
good.
This is great. Da Vinci 2019 Chianti. This is very good. So what's the future? What are you looking at doing? Just, you know, status quo right now? Are you looking at becoming a name that rolls off the tip of the tongue whenever anybody says anything about champagnes?
We love that. So thank you for having me on. It definitely helps to have awareness and exposure for what we're doing. And so really, really appreciate the opportunity to talk to your audience. But certainly for us next, you know, we just love sparkling wines so much. I really feel that, you know, you can open a bottle of sparkling wine on any day and it turns it into a real celebration, a real special occasion. And also, the thing that's so cool about sparkling wines and champagne is that people pretty much only drink them when they're in a good mood. So it's nice that we've got people who associate a lot of really celebratory, happy moments with the wines that we make. And so we are always looking for more female winemakers around the world who are making classic styles of sparkling wines. So champagne, and we have great California sparkling wines, but we've been starting to look at potentially some Prosecco producers and some Cava producers. There are also cool people, even up and down the northeast of the United States, people in the Finger Lakes who are doing really cool wines. So,
Virginia.
So for us, when we meet amazing people who are making really cool wines, that's, you know, who we want to collaborate with and who we want to amplify. And so I expect that we'll launch a few more sparkling wines in the years ahead.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to stay strictly with sparkling, or are you going to be doing any still wines?
I think we're going to stick just with sparkling. There's so much to explore, so many different styles, and it's what we love.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good. Now, tell me about your wines. Each one
sure.
of them, how many do you have available?
So the ones that we have available through the website are, we have, as I said, an organic grower producer champagne. That wine's actually sold out at the moment, so I don't need to tell you too much about it. But the two wines that are it won't always be sold out. That's true. But I'll tell you about the two wines that are what I would say are like our flagship wines, our most popular wines, and the wines that are most readily available that people would be most likely to be able to find. So we name each of our wines after a woman. So we've got the Betty for the Betty White. That is our sparkling white wine.
That's the one that they serve on Delta.
That's the one we serve on Delta. We focus on champagne varietals, so predominantly Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. And that particular wine is made with all Mendocino fruit. So Northern California, relatively cold climate, but still a lot of beautiful, expressive fruit characteristics because it's so sunny and warm in California. And that is a dry sparkling wine and is really delicious. It's very, I would say, like a luxurious mouthfeel, and it's got some sort of yeasty characteristics like you would find in champagne, a little bit less than in a traditional champagne because it's not aging for as long and it's not on the lees as long, but really like a luxurious style sparkler. And
you say dry now. How dry is dry? I mean, and I'm not trying to categorize, but it seems to me like most women will tend to lean toward a little bit sweeter in the champagnes. Well, people, basically.
So,
yeah.
So we actually don't add any dosage, any essentially added sugar to our white wine. So it is truly dry. But because it's from California, that fruit is getting so much sunshine. So the fruit really ripens. And so you'll still get the taste and the feeling of something that has some level of certainly a fruit-forward palate. I wouldn't say that it tastes sweet, but I would say that it tastes very balanced. And I've never had anybody try the wine and say, I've really never had anybody say, I don't like this. So I'll just use that. But our sparkling rosé is Pinot Noir with a little bit of Chardonnay in it, also from California. And that one, we do 6 grams per liter of dosage. So that additional little hint of sweetness that gets added when you're in champagne, when you're in a lot of other sparkling wine regions. And so I always like to have people taste those two wines next to each other. And I often will ask them which is sweeter, and sometimes they can't tell, or sometimes they say the wrong wine. And, you know, at the end of the day, what matters is what you like.
Yeah,
what tastes good to you, what you want to drink. And so I find it's almost like 50-50 when I ask people which one they prefer. Some people like the Betty or sparkling white wine. Some people like the Cali or sparkling rosé. And they're both really versatile, really fruit-forward, really really food-friendly wines. Like, I think a lot of people, when they're thinking about drinking champagne or sparkling wine, they're only opening it on New Year's Eve for a toast or at a wedding. And those are important, wonderful places to drink these sparkling wines. But we also love them with food. I mean, I drink champagne with, you know, my favorite pairing is something salty and kind of fried. So like fried chicken, everybody talks about fried chicken and champagne, or chicken fingers and champagne. That's the classic one. Or French fries and champagne. Those are all awesome. I also love popcorn with champagne. We at the Riddler at the champagne bars, we had a popcorn station where you could serve yourself and do all these different salts and seasonings. And that was so popular. It was so much fun to walk around the bar and see people with a big bowl of popcorn and a glass of champagne. And let me tell you, if you've never tried that combo, it will change your opinion on champagne.
I have Delicious. Heard that. And I was recommended Cheetos with champagne.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Of course.
Yeah. Yeah,
delicious.
I haven't had that, but that sounds good, though.
Well, I know what you're doing this weekend. It's a long weekend. Go get yourself some Cheetos and champagne.
There you go. Yeah, it's going to be chilly here, so it'll be good.
So, hey, you know.
Lock myself in and all that.
That sounds like a way to warm up.
Yeah. Yeah, it might work. It just might work.
Yeah.
So the Cali
even,
and...
Okay, we're both talking. You go ahead.
The Betty and the Cali, that's not your only ones.
That's right. We also have what are called piquettes. So we have these really cool canned wines that are very, very sustainable. So they're, I would say, like, if you love natural wines, these are the wine for you. So we do one that's 100% Chardonnay, one that's 100% Pinot Noir. And the way that they're made is through they actually utilize the second pressing. So a lot of people just throw out the second pressing, but this is sort of a new style that's getting pretty popular in California and in Brooklyn and sort of these hipster areas, I would say, where people are really focused on sustainability and upcycling and recycling. And so these are naturally low ABV wines utilizing that second pressing. So if you like a really light style, they're great. And they're really, the Pinot Noir is, like, I would say, very juicy tasting. It has almost notes that, there's certainly notes of like strawberry and cherry, and I would say less blackberry, less cassis, less of that stuff, more of the bright, bright red fruits, and even some like watermelon. And then the Chardonnay almost has, I would say, like, because it's a natural wine, it has almost like a, this is a weird way to describe it, but like almost like a beer-like quality or like a cidery quality to it. Very light, very refreshing, not very fruit-forward. But so for people who are adventurous and want to try a new style of natural wine, I would totally encourage them to give the piquettes a try.
You mentioned low ABV. What is the alcohol?
They're 8%.
That is really low. Yeah.
It is pretty low. Yeah, it's about as low as you can go while still having a little. It's about the same ABV as like a beer.
Yeah. But it's still not sweet, though. I mean, usually with lower lower alcohol, you tend to get a little bit sweeter wine, and these still aren't sweet, then, you say. Wow.
Well, these ones are low ABV because it's the second press. So there's just less, a lot of, you know, essentially the juicy alcohol-y parts have already been pressed out.
Right.
Like the best analogy I know of is like the second dip of a tea bag. You know, when you like make tea and it's really strong, and then if you take that same tea bag and make tea with a second cup, that second cup, you can still taste it. But you don't have as much tannin. You certainly don't have as much flavor. You don't have as much caffeine. So it's kind of the same way.
Well, that's a good example. A very good example on that. Something you mentioned about having champagne all the time. I'm a big advocate of that. I'm always telling my listeners, you know, champagne is not just for holidays or special occasions. Champagne is to drink with anything, everything, all the time. You know, get yourself champagne and just have it with your dinner tonight just because it's a good combo there. So, yeah, I agree with you. There's so many different things you can have with your champagne, and you don't have to just wait until that special day or something. And
so true.
Yeah.
So true. Yeah, everybody should be popping more bottles of champagne.
By all means.
Did you know that that champagne and sparkling wine is the fastest growing wine category in the U.S.? That
yes,
more people are drinking champagne more than anything else, which is really cool. It's not that it's the biggest category, but it's the fastest growing category.
It's the fastest growing. In fact, I just read that, within the last week or so, Beverage News was talking about it, and they mentioned that champagne is the biggest category for growth in the United States, and they expect it to continue throughout this year. So it's not going to slow down. It's definitely going to pick up on it. So four champagnes, or is there more?
That's it. That's the whole line. You nailed it. Portfolio, and they're all made by great female winemakers who we love, and we're proud of all these wines. And as the days go on, we'll keep on adding more wines into the fold. And it's been so much fun to do all this. I mean, getting to work with such an amazing community of people has been really cool. And it's been so awesome to see when we present these wines to women restaurant owners or wine shop owners or restaurants that have a female chef or a female sommelier or a female wine buyer. They love them. And of course, there are tons of restaurants and retailers that we work with that are not women owned that just want to support great, delicious wines that happen to be made by women. And so it's cool to see how well the wines have been received. And it's, I think, for consumers, really great to have a brand that they always know is made by women winemakers and supports women. So that's what we're all about.
Are you actively seeking new women winemakers to increase your portfolio?
Absolutely.
Or you're actively?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, so if anyone out there knows in your local area a sparkling wine that's being made by women, then by all means, contact Jen. She will
be more than happy to talk with you. And, of course, also, if anybody wants to buy these wines locally, ask for them at your local wine shop and email us on our website, and we'll try to make sure that they're available close to you.
There you go. Okay. That's good. You say you ship. I know you don't like it, but you ship to every state, or is there
almost every state. There are some states you're not allowed to ship to, but we ship.
Yeah. Okay. Because there's always those states, and the people who live in them know who they are. So.
Oh, they know. They're bummed. They're waiting for those laws to change, but I don't think they're changing anytime soon. Yeah. They're lobbying
really
their
good.
Local authorities, but no changes have been made yet.
Not yet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's aware of that too. So.
Yeah.
So. It sounds exciting. I mean, you've got yourself something here that can go only one direction, and that is up and bigger and hitting more people. And
thank you.
Great concept.
Thanks. Yeah, we're having a great time. Most importantly, like I said, the wines are delicious. You know, we all want to support causes that mean a lot to us, but we also have to make sure that the product is great. And so I feel really proud to get to represent the women who are making these wines, and it's just a blast. It's not a fun. It's not a tough life. You know, it's a pretty. We're having a good
time. How many people you have working for you?
You know, we started this last year with just two of us, and now we're a team of 16. So we've grown.
Wow.
We've grown a lot in the last year. Yeah. Most of them are on the sales team, so they're helping to get the wines out into the market. And then we've obviously got people who are making and producing the wines. And you wouldn't also, I mean, you can't possibly wrap your head around how hard all the supply chain stuff is. I was not, when we went into the business, about,
oh my goodness,
the boxes and the glass and the corks and the labels and all of that stuff.
It's
truly, truly unbelievable. So that's the big piece of the business too, that people don't really talk about. It's not the, you know, it's not the most, it's an incredibly important piece of it, but it's not necessarily what everybody's talking about in the business. And we're so grateful to that team too. So,
yeah, they have a tough job on there. I've mentioned it a few times on the show here about supply chain and telling people, you know, you may be paying a percentage more for your wine because of the supply chain problems.
Absolutely.
It's almost impossible to get certain items out there. So it's I understand that completely. I really do. Mike, do you have any questions or comments or anything for Jen?
I was writing some notes, and I thought about something while you were talking, and all your history and everything and how you got to this point. Do you have any kind of advice or anything to offer women just starting out or wanting to get into the wine business or the wine industry?
Any absolutely. I think one really important thing is to just really build your network, to go work for great winemakers, great wine brand owners, great sommeliers, great restaurants, great wine retail shops. Like, you know, I've been in the business in some fashion for over 20 years. So even though this brand is relatively new and is 2.5 years old, you know, certainly I've built my career over decades, and I still feel like I have no idea what I'm doing. that's like how it always is. So the more you know, the more you realize you really don't know what you know. And so having really, really great mentors and learning from the best that you possibly can, that's my number one. And then number two is to find organizations that are really supportive of women in this space. And so two of the best, one is called Bâtonnage. They're actually our charity partner on the Piquette wines that I mentioned. And Bâtonnage is French for to stir up. And it's a step in the winemaking process where you stir the lees. But for Bâtonnage, it's about like stirring up the conversation. And it's an organization in California, specifically in Napa, but they're really nationwide, but they're based there. And they focus on supporting women in wine. And they do a lot of amazing mentorship work. They have some scholarships to go and learn how to make wine and to work with different women in the wine industry. So Bâtonnage is a great organization to follow. Another one is called Women of the Vine and Spirits, which is a national organization that brings together women across all aspects of the wine and spirits world, everything from producers to vineyard managers to retailers on the national scale who are bringing wines into their portfolio to independents. So those two are, they've got great resources on their websites, and they're a really good place to start.
Fantastic. Do you speak French?
A little bit. More kitchen French than anything else from my time working in the kitchen. But I haven't practiced very much lately, so it's I need to get a refresher course, that's for sure.
Well, you mentioned you spent time in France, and then, you know, a couple of things you said, and I just wondered if you actually did speak French. And
The tiniest bit.
Yeah, I know.
I know how to, like, get around and ask for, you know, the correct cheese when I'm in a cheese shop, things like that.
There you go. Important things, you know. Yeah.
Important things. Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else, Mike?
Nope. I think I'm good. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Jen, thank you so much. Before you go, I want you to give email, website, Facebook, Twitter, all the addresses and all the ways that people can get a hold of you and or Unfin Wine. And so
you got it. Thank you. Yeah, so we're online at www.unfemwines.com. So U-N-E, F as in Frank, E-M-M-E, wines with an S on the end.com. We're also on Instagram at unfemwines. We're at LinkedIn at unfemwines. We're on Twitter at unfemwines. We're on Facebook at unfemwines. So we're at all of those places at unfemwines. And then the best way to get in touch with us over email is we've got an email address that's just hello@unfemwines. And anybody who would want to say hello is welcome to email us. And then also, if you want to pick up these wines at your local wine shop or you are a wine retailer and you want to bring us in, we would love to connect.
There you go. So
there you go.
Champagne, not just for holidays. It's for any time. And now you've got yourself a champagne source for any time. And I want to point out too, you make the rosé champagne or rosé sparkling wine. And for those of you who have never had a rosé sparkling wine, it's really, really good and a lot of fun to see those bubbles come up in a rosé style wine. And so
that's right.
I
totally agree.
Yeah. Yep. So, Jen, thank you so much for taking time out and joining us today. And best of luck to you and to Unfin Wines. And in the future, as you start growing and becoming almost too big for us, I'd like to get you on the show again and tell us how things are going.
You got it. Next time we launch a new wine, I'll give you a call.
Okay. Ooh. Okay. You know, have your publicist get a hold of us. Or who was that?
I think it was, probably our publicist.
Yeah.
So I'll have my people call your people.
Well, Mike and I are our people.
I know. I'm kidding you. Yeah.
We are very limited peoples here.
It's great. Well, I so appreciate the opportunity, and hopefully one day we'll find a way to drink a bottle of sparkling wine together.
I would really look forward to that. Thank you so much. If you're ever down here in Florida, get in touch and we'll do that.
All
right. Best of luck to you. Thank you for joining us tonight, and have yourself a good evening.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you too. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Has dropped. Okay. Very cool.
I love the concept that she has there and doing this, sparkling wine. And then the women aspect of it is just a little extra bonus, I think. I'm sure they can make it on the merits of the sparkling wine itself, but I think adding, for women, by women, all that just puts another level to it that is really great. So,
seems like they're filling, helping fill the void of women in the industry. And like she said, there's others out there that maybe need to rise up and get involved as well. So
right.
More than just women not being represented. So like to see that. So
me too. We've talked about it before on the show. We've had women winemakers on the show and women winery owners and all that. Mm-hmm. And it's always always great to see more and more women break the glass ceiling of wine, if you will. So our wine production. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
But she's had herself quite a busy life. Wow.
Absolutely.
I guess it wore me out just her telling me about it. So.
We have, unless you have any other announcements, we do have a guest next weekend as well. We'll have to find out more information about her because I just have a name. That'll be January 19th. What do you mean you want a Windows update? God, I wish that would just Sometimes I wish Windows would just fall off a cliff and stay there. And then, you know, it's like, oh, I need to reboot. What, do it at 4 o'clock in the morning when I'm nowhere, you know.
Yeah, really. When you're asleep and you don't need to worry about it doing it.
Yeah. Knowing my luck, it would sit here and yell and scream, I'm rebooting, wake up.
I start making all sorts of beeps and everything.
Yeah.
Beep, beep, beep.
Yeah.
Like R2-D2 on Star Wars. Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah. Annoying. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. Let's see. Who do we have next? I'm trying to find here.
Jessica Kogan, it sounds like. Jessica Kogan. Kogan?
Yeah.
No.
I can't. K-O-G-A-N. Find it. Where the heck is it? Well, I've got it here. You know, the problem is, and I mentioned this before, the problem is I get emails from publicists or people who work for these people, like Jen here, Olivia. I found it here. Olivia is the one that I get all the emails from, and not Jen. And so I have to know that Olivia is for Jen.
Oh, yeah.
And then I've got these others here that, let's see, Lexi is for Jody. So we don't have Jody next week. I don't know. I usually make myself a list, and I lost my list as I was cleaning up stuff here. And so
I found a reference to Jessica's Jessica Kogan, Chief Growth and Experience Officer at Vintage Wine Estates. She is a brand marketing and digital transformation executive with a seriously successful track record of launching CPG brands and DTC businesses that scale.
Well, that should be interesting. You can explain all that stuff to it.
Yeah. You're using some big words there. What's going on?
That's right. You know, so tell me, what does all this mean?
Yeah.
So see you next week then. All right.
Yeah, a couple of references. Yeah, you said, it was January 19th. So,
19th.
That happens to be next Thursday. So I guess we'll be on.
We will be on next Thursday. We'll be back another week.
That's right. That's right. And if you'd like to be a guest on the show yourself, you're in the wine industry at some level, contact the show. You can easily email Ron directly, allaboutwine101@gmail.com. allaboutwine101@gmail.com. That'll go to Ron, and he'll first you have to be vetted. We have to check it out because, you know, there's people out there that just want to, you know. Anyway, but he'll check it out and verify things and use our investigative techniques and technology. And as long as you're legitimate, get on the program and let's discuss wine. So we have a new year upon us, and it's great to be here. And we will continue on and enjoy meeting people like Jen was tonight. So very good. Let's see.
Well, I don't have anything else except that it's going to get bloody cold tonight, tomorrow.
I think tomorrow and tomorrow night we're supposed to be. It's Florida. It's back in the 30s again. That's not right.
Yeah.
In Central Florida,
they
were up in the 20s again. Stupid.
That's not right. That's something wrong with that.
No, it's not. We have cities called Winter Haven, which is where I'm at. Winter Park, which has nothing to do with winter. It's not like snow. Frost proof, you would think, you know. And yet, what's happening? Oh, they're getting frost. They're getting
frost.
The winter.
It's, it's cold. Something's wrong there. Something's wrong.
Something's wrong. Yeah.
We don't live in Florida for 30-degree weather. You know, I mean.
Yeah. People come down from the north. Yeah,
people come down from the north and go, oh, this isn't bad, and we want to slap them.
They're out on the beach. Where's everybody? So it's that time of year, and it's winter is upon us again. So
winter is.
Pick
up the carcass. So next week, thank you for listening.
We'll see you all next week, January 19th. Thank you for tuning in. Yeah, well,
be safe.
See you then. Have a great day. And stay warm.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Let's see if I can. Huh?
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine,
All About Wine
with your host, Ron. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinevtr.com. Archived shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.
That's it. End
Bye.
The show.
I'm going to the green room. I think. Why am I not in the green room? I clicked it.